Little one today is Thursday, December 11, 2025, and this is the week in charts. I'm sure I thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you getting taking the time out of your busy schedules to be here. My apologies for not doing a good job of getting the show out there. Maybe next year I'll do a better job. I do have some ideas on that. What can we talk about? Well, obviously, current market conditions, easy for me to say. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock and crypto picks, you can go ahead and start punching those in right now. Just put USD, obviously, after crypto, so I know it's a crypto pair, not stocks. I can't imagine there'll be a lot to do in crypto this week. I want to continue to kind of harp on the missing piece when it comes to trading. And one thing I was thinking about before I went live is I do want to tie in the psychology of this too. And I think that one important thing to do today is, would you take these trades going back in time, a bit of a hindsight analysis, but before they triggered, without knowing what stock symbol they are. I think I blacked out almost all of them. There's a couple of them, you'll know the symbol. And that way you won't have any bias one way or the other. And then you can see what worked and what didn't. And for me in the process, I had very little regret, which is unusual. Usually you have a lot more regret when you go in and do these things. And there was only one example this week, at least. There's a few more to cover next week or whatever we do the next show. But anyway, we'll get to all that in just one second. And then there's the reason I mentioned psychology is like being able to see a setup again and take that setup and separate the extraneous, what's going on in your life, how your recent trading has been, et cetera, is very important. And, you know, I get a little full of myself when things are going well, especially like if I'm doing intraday stuff and feel like I got this. And whenever you feel like I got this, it's usually right before you ask, it's handed to you. Anyway, that'll come out in time and a little bit in this presentation too. There's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading. Always often sum it up. All predictions about the future and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. All right, there's my contact information once again. Shoot a screenshot if you need to get in touch with me. You can also reach me at Dave@DaveLandry.com. As I've been saying ad nauseum, the missing piece for me in trading, and I think for 99% of everyone out there, or 100% of everyone out there, is actually seeing someone recommend the trade and then take the trade and then manage the trade. And that's my ultimate goal with my service is like, okay, these are the stocks that I like out of these. This one might be kind of risky. Let's make this one an official entry. If you want to be more aggressive, maybe go with this one too. And then on the ones that become official entries, give you an entry, give you a stop, and then help you manage the position by telling you where I think the trailing stop should be and where you should take initial profits and so on and so forth. I was thinking yesterday, I watched someone who's one of these, I don't want to say get rich quick guys, but yeah, I guess he's a get rich quick kind of guy. And I watched a whole webinar, and he basically said a lot of things that made sense. And it's like, okay, well, maybe this guy is not such a scumbag that I think. And then they're in trouble now with the FEC, FCC, and God knows who else, SEC, SEC, whoever. There's my cold kicking in. I doubled up on the cold meds, hoping it would work. But anyway. He went through all this explanation. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this guy is a little bit more legit. And then he just shows this off-the-cuff trade that, from what I could tell, had nothing to do with his methodology. He loaded up on a bunch of out-of-the-money options and made a shit ton of money, allegedly. And that's not showing you how to trade, and that's not really how to trade. It's like, yeah, he got lucky on one, and that's probably why they're in so much trouble with the government now, the Securities and Exchange Commission. All right. Anyway, I digressed a little bit, but let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. Now, what I want to do this week again is I want to go through these trades and I want to show you them for the first time, or as you're seeing them for the first time, and reanalyze them, so to speak. Okay. So this is what you would do with your postmortem. Okay. After all is said and done, go back in and look at the trade from day one. Back the chart out with it. Try to forget about the outcome, right? I know it's hard. Outcome bias is a tough thing in this business. And that's something that I probably need to make a list of these things. I haven't been talking a lot about psychology lately, but there's so many thoughts in my head, so many things I want to go back and cover. But the question is, would you take this trade? It's like, well, it's nice, longer-term uptrend. It's accelerating in its trend. And it had a very nice TKO down to the 30 EMA, almost textbook in nature. So I would say, yeah, this looks like a pretty darn good trade. In fact, I think I remember now, but a few seconds ago when I was saying that, I forget which symbol this is. I don't know the symbol. I remember the pattern, and I don't remember whether it worked or not. I think it did not work. Let's take a look at what happened. All right, triggers, starts to rally up towards that initial profit target. So the stop gets brought up a little bit, and then let's see what happens. And then, damn, yeah, you can take it out at a loss of 14% on the individual stock in 1844 overall. Now, remember, this is based on a 100K account. 14% is the actual move with the stock, so that doesn't matter what your account size is. But the amount of loss is based on 2% risk, which would be $2,000 per 100K. Model account's 100K. Anyway, so this would, I thought, look pretty darn good. One thing that I was looking at before I went live is, notice how it tends to thrust, pull back, rinse, and repeat. And notice how beautiful this recent little Landry-like pullback was in this stock. So that's was pretty interesting there, or the prior one, I should, recent to this chart. Anyway, that was KGS. That was an all-service stock, which is unusual for a commodity-related stock like a gold or an oil to trade so cleanly, although we've had some fantastic runs in the gold stocks as of late. And they're actually popping higher today. The JDUG is going through the roof. Anyway, so that was the original setup. You can see the entry, the protective stop, and initial profit target. All of these screenshots from like right here come directly from my trading service, okay? And the other thing, and you'll see a lot of those slides in this presentation, and then the next presentation when we finish up. But a lot of these slides, I already covered the entry and everything, at least early in the trade, early in the year. So this one was in February. If you go back to like February, 14 or so, and look at the weekly charts for then, you'll see this actual trade. So just go to the weekly charts playlist and look at all the ones for 2025 if you are having trouble sleeping at night. All right, here's another one. What do you think? I think it looks okay. Nice longer-term uptrend, lots of Landry lights. You also had some acceleration. Now, when I was just kind of eyeballing this, I didn't see the acceleration when I was just eyeballing a second ago. But then once you draw your trend lines in, you can see that, yeah, it was in kind of a gradual uptrend, and then it began to accelerate higher. So that looks pretty good, I think. So there's all your parameters down below. Entry's here, stop is here, initial profit target is up here. So let's take a look at that one. So again, nice longer term uptrend, nice accelerating uptrend. And what happens? Entry's here, stop is here, initial profit target is here. So it didn't trigger yet, okay? Now, excuse me. One thing that I do is in the service, and it creates a bit of a dilemma. If I show a stock, let's say I show a stock and then it doesn't trigger for a few days, I'm a little lenient in continuing to show it. I don't show something, it doesn't trigger, take it off, and then the next day it would trigger. That would drive everybody crazy, especially if it went through the roof. Now, in this particular case, it did pull back quite a bit, suggesting that it had lost some steam. And this is where a bit of a dilemma comes in. So take or no take on this. And by the way, if you're watching a recording of this, why don't you, I think it'd be a great exercise if you would actually just hit pause and analyze the chart and decide whether or not you would take it. So this is how it shook out. It triggers, then it comes right back in. So that one kind of sucked. And that's the only one so far, at least in hindsight, that I would say, maybe it wasn't that great. I have had some setups where they don't trigger right away and I keep following up on them and they eventually trigger and they become some big winners. So that is a bit of a dilemma. And this is where the psychology comes in once again. Trading all balls down to making decisions and living with them, okay? Can I live with this decision? Okay. And then what are the outcomes? If you don't take the trade, it takes off without you. Can you live with that by saying, well, it really wasn't? Can you justify that, I should say, and then live with it? Okay. Can you justify not taking the trade? But anyway, so this was stopped out, unfortunately. Okay. This is a short. Now, just for reference, this is coming off of all-time highs. It bow ties to the downside, nice little thrust lower, followed by a pullback. Take it or no take? I say take it. I guess every one I took, so no need to say that, right? Entry, protective stop, initial profit target, respectively. And you can see what happened. It goes down, hits the initial profit target, and then comes back up. Now, as I preach, this is CCL, or I'm sorry, JBL. Now, as I preach, you're not going to get rich on the short side unless we get into a rip-roaring bear market that is fairly persistent, which is kind of an odd thing for a market to just kind of chop its way lower, or not chop its way lower, just kind of work its way lower on a persistent basis. Usually, you have the sharp sell-offs, which are fantastic. I mean, look how fast we got paid on this trade, right? But then it's always usually followed by a sharp retrace rally because the shorts rush into cover, bottom fishers rush in to think they're buying a bargain, and then it dies out often subsequently. But of course, it stops you out first. So there were the initial parameters. Again, these come straight from DaveLanner.com/archives, and I actually go to that link when I need to pull up an old service myself. By the way, if you ever pull up one and it doesn't come up, let me know, and I'll change the privacy filter on it so you can see it. Also, for what it's worth, if you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Dave Landry, you can get the newer delayed services on the YouTube channel. So I give them a few days to a week or so, and then I publish them there. And I've had a few people tell me they've made money on the delayed service, and that's why they come over to the real time, which is very nice. Anyway, so this was better than a poke in the eye. You made 12.5% on the first loaf and 4% on the second, 983.317 respectively in the model account. So that's about 1.3% gain overall, better than the poke in the eye, especially over a short period of time. So here's another one. And we have all-time highs just for reference. Now remember, with the short side and transitional type of setups, like a bow tie, a first thrust, things of that nature, I like to see them coming off of all-time highs. And that's because you want to make sure that most amount of people are on the wrong side of the market. And one thing I've been writing a lot about is conceptually correct type of thinking, okay? A conceptually correct mindset. And that all comes way back, or comes from Larry Connors way back in the mid-90s when I used to do programming and research for Larry. One of the things I'm writing about is I would program system after system and take his ideas and then noodle with him and create my own ideas and try to make his stuff even better. And in the process of doing all those different things, and I think I ended up, now it's not probably not as many as it seems, but I probably ended up about 2,000 systems. But each one might be a variation on another one. So it's not quite as many systems. The combinatorics grow really quick when you're adding a variable, several variables to each different system. But anyway, I came up with once by accident, I made a mistake in the code. And this one system actually worked fairly well, but we couldn't figure out why it was working. And in perfect hindsight, it probably just had a little accidental curve fitting to it. By the way, the better your system looks at backtesting, if it looks unbelievably phenomenal, the chances of it working in forward testing or real money is much more diminished. And the reason I'm saying that is, provided, of course, if you have a lot of variables of a fairly complex system, if it's a simple system and it works great in hindsight, it will likely continue to work fairly well in the future. But if you put in a bunch of parameters, and that's what I did by accident, some sort of mistake in the code or whatever, caused this, I guess this one system to miss an ugly trade or something, and then the whole performance changed. So the more you try to make that system look, I don't know, robust is probably not the word, because robust means that it's going to work in the future, I suppose, or has that implication. But the more you try to make it look great, okay, kind of holy grail type of hunt in the past, the less likely it's going to work in the future, because what you did was just perfectly curve fit the thing. So that's a long-winded way of saying that Larry introduced me to the concept of conceptually correct. If it's not conceptually correct, throw it out. So that line of thinking, thank God he gave me that way back in the mid-90s, okay? That's carried me through my career. So when I see a setup, it's like, okay, am I just getting this thing emotionally, or is there a solid reason to get in based on reading the charts, which is reading the mindset of the other players? So at an all-time high, everyone is happy. Except for this, maybe have a beer, we'll all be happy. This little gap open here, okay, whoever the poor bastard had bought on that high or that open or near that high is a hurting pup by the end of the day, okay? So the Johnny Come Latelys kind of come rushing in at the top, and they buy at any price because of the fear of missing out. And the market is usually quick to spit them out because they have very little staying power from a mental standpoint and a monetary standpoint, okay? So once the market begins to crack, the remaining players become or now under more and more pressure, okay? And as a general statement, people don't sell their stocks on the way down. They wait for them to rally before they look to sell them. And then if the market sells off from there, then what could happen is that selling could exacerbate itself, if that's the right word. Sounds kind of nasty, doesn't it? Can exacerbate as people throw in the towel because they might need money, okay? They might begin to panic a little bit. So that's all the technical analysis. The way I see it is based on reading the psychology of the market. Anyway, Bowtie was there. You could see pretty serious slide down. A little bit of a pullback. Entry stop and initial profit target. And you can see it sold off. And then stops out, okay? Now, noticing the sell-off, one thing I was noticing right before I went live is that it triggers an entry, and the first day and the second day, you're feeling pretty good. And then, of course, it goes straight back up. There's an old adage that all shorts go against you, and I'm not a huge fan of market adages. A lot of them are flat out wrong. But it sure seems like all shorts do go against you. All right, so again, better than poking the eye. You know, I can get rich on the short side, and I probably shouldn't say that too much, but I know it's a reality of it, of how it works. It just is what it is. So that was TPR. All right, here we have another one. Looks like an IPO here. In fact, I know it's an IPO. Take or no take? Well, let's take a look at it. Let's see. Nice uptrend here. You can see it came public and shot up a little bit, came back in. Where would the buy be? I guess on this day here. So that didn't work initially, but it looks like it worked a little longer term. I may have played that buy at B. I don't remember. I can look at my records if anybody cares. Nice little pullback to the moving average. That's a Landry-like pullback. There's your parameters down below. Entry stop, initial profit target. Let's take a look at what happened. So it worked out pretty good, and then it got whacked, unfortunately. But net-net, it was not a bad trade, okay? You made 28% of the first loaf, or $1,000 per 100K, and then you got stopped out of the scratch. That's the better of the poke of the eye trade. All right, what about this one, okay? Nice longer-term uptrend, right? Okay, a little bit of a minor double top there, but that's actually a positive. When you have a minor double top and you have a knockout type of move like we have here, I call it a double top knockout. And the double top starts looking toppy to people. They think a top is in place and the shorts might be a little eager to pile on, okay? And when that market sells off, the shorts are immediately vindicated, but if it comes right back up, they get squeezed out. So that's one of the advantages of TKO And I do like when you have that, when you have that minor double top, two highs with several lows, three or four lows ideally in between those two highs at least. Anyway, there's all your parameters, entry, stop, and let's see what happens. So it takes off, and I don't have the IPT on here, but the IPT, unless it's going to come up in a second, was just barely above this high. So on April 16th, I put up this post on Facebook to let you know that I was in the process of thinking about taking partial profits a little early. And for legal purposes and for reality purposes, okay, that's why I don't publish official quote-unquote results when it comes to the services, because it could open up a can of worms and all, because it's all for educational purposes anyway. But the other reason is I do believe in using a little bit of discretion. Now, as I preach, if you're newer to the methodology, newer to trading, or newer to my service, then by all means, do follow things a little bit more mechanically until you get a few wins under your belt, until you begin to wrap your head around the use of discretion and how that can improve performance. As I said before, there was one that kind of nicked the stop at 9, and then it took off, and there was no, I didn't see any trading actually below 9, but there was a print there, so technically, that's where the stop was. You would have gotten stopped out. And somebody asked me during a webinar, well, Dave, why do you place your stop at 8.99? It's like, well, if I knew exactly where the market was headed and how far it would go against me, it could go 1 cent beyond that, then you never see my fat ass again. So that's kind of like you'd have to be a god or someone to know that. And believe me, you're not God. So here we go. Took off nicely. Now, mechanically, that one scored as a negative, okay? And I could double check, this is HEI, I could double check my trading, but I'm 99.9% sure that I took profits a little earlier on this one and got stopped out at a small loss on the remainder. But overall, that was a small loss of that trade. I don't have it in here. It'll be further down in some slides. I can pull up to see what it was. All right, here we have another one just for reference. That is all-time highs, okay? So what did I just say? At all-time highs, everyone's happy. What happens when a market begins to sell off after it hits all-time highs? Well, the Johnny-come-latelys become punished, okay? And guess what? See all these people that bought in this possible range? Again, think about it from a conceptually correct standpoint, okay? Now, the scale on this, and I'm just kind of seeing this as I'm doing this live, the scale on this looks a little small because it's there's a lot of room on the chart that I gave below. But if you were looking at this a little bit on more of a micro level, this is a fairly substantial move lower, okay? But anyway, everybody from here on up is a hurting pup at this point. There's your bow tie, okay? Moving averages just come together, spread out, look like a bow tie. Somebody asked me if I wear bow ties. I'm like, no, I don't want to look like a fancy lad. not that there's anything wrong with that. I have a lot of friends who are fancy lads. Anyway, there's your entry, your productive stop. Now, with these transitional patterns, I kind of like to try to get fairly close to the old highs, if it allows, I mean, within reason. And that's because if the market gets close to its old highs, it's very likely that it could keep on keeping on, and I'm wrong, and that's where I need to just go ahead and take my losses, lick my wounds or whatever. But you can see, it goes out and hits the IPT. Now, remember, and I know I'm beating a dead horse on this because I say it often, but just in case somebody's new to methodology or me or whatever, we do bring that stop to break even when that IPT is hit, okay? And we let the second half roll for what hopefully will become a longer term trend trade. Now, again, on the short side, it's a little tougher. And in looking at some of these shorts from earlier in the year, maybe there's something that should be done when you captured such a big move. Okay, so you're up in the 20s here, and now you're down well into the teens. Okay, so maybe some additional profit should be taken at some point in time. I haven't really thought about that too much on the short side. Every now and then you can catch one and ride out a longer term winner. It's just the exception rather than the norm. Anyway, so you made 17.2% on the first loaf. This was a thick stock, so the range isn't tremendous on this one, or 6.67% on the second loaf, or and 6.67 on the seventh loaf. So once again, about a 1.4% move in the entire account. All right, what about this one? Looks like an IPO. Nice big fat picture, nice big fat cup and handle. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Anyone would not take that? Nice little pullback to the moving average. That's a Landry-like pullback. There's all the parameters, entry stop, and initial profit target. All right, let's check that one out. So, spoiler alert, that turned into a full loss, 30% on the stock, 30.48, and 1946 on the remainder. So, here's how it all shook out. We were only profitable for about one day and then unfortunately came back in. Okay, it happens, or since I think I've already demonetized, shit happens sometimes twice. All right, what about this one? It looks pretty good to me. Nice accelerated uptrend, nice little pullback to 30 EMA. There's all your parameters. Entry, stop, initial profit target. So again, take or not? I say take. And I know what happens. Kind of meanders, can't get his act together, and then just comes right back in. So there was a loss of 28.45%, or 1834, 1.8% loss on the entire account. 2% ideally is the max loss. Sometimes we'll get a gap or something to go a little further than that. Okay, so that's why 2% is plenty enough to risk on a trade. All right, what about this one? Okay, you can see, what do we have working? Well, we got lots and lots of Landry-like. We have Landry-like, just the lows greater than moving average. I like the 30 EMA a lot. 20 EMA, I used to like that a lot too. I know you want to party with me. Pull back to the moving average, completes the pattern. There's all your parameters. So the entry was here, stop was here, initial profit target was up here, and I grabbed this slide from a show I did back in early August. And here's how it shook out. So the point I'm making there is you can go back and look at the shows for the year and see that these were done without any hindsight whatsoever. These were mystery charts that hadn't triggered yet. That was the parameters, entry, stop, IPT. Let's see how it shook out. Triggers and then rallies nicely, but unfortunately stops out. Well, that's better than a poke in the eye, okay? And as I preach, if you did that well on every trade, okay, and occasionally caught a home run, you'd own the world. But obviously, we do have some losing trades, and I do like to temper your expectations. I probably would make a lot more money in my educational business if I hyped it up a little bit more, but it is a lot of work, okay? And you're going to have losses. There will be blood. All right, here's one. There's parameters. Now, again, we have that kind of that double top pattern. Now, I forgot to cover up the name on this one. So this is a gold, so we know that. I'm a little bit more lenient in my patterns with something like a commodity related stock because they usually are kind of choppy. They're kind of held hostage by the underlying commodity. Okay. And commodities tend to be choppy. The reason that commodities are choppy is because they're an efficient market. Okay. A lot of players kind of canceling each other out. Anyway, it might look a little unorthodox. I think if the scaling were bigger on this one, maybe go back and watch the webinar we did back in late May, early July, to see how it looked back then, or just back the chart out. But anyway, you can see it triggers, and then this was one of my dead money reports forever. It went sideways forever, but it did finally hit that IPT. And knock on wood, we're still in this one. And when I grabbed this screenshot, it was making all-time highs a little while ago. So this is one of our bigger winners for the year. And this is the secret to trend trading, okay? First of all, you have to use that hybrid money management approach, okay? And that controls the losses within reason, okay? Shit can still happen, obviously, but ideally 2% max. And then you want to take those partial profits just in case that's all you get. Well, how many better than the poke in the eye trades have I showed you so far from 2025? Quite a few, okay? That's okay. I'm never upset when I get a better than the poke in the eye trade. If somebody's upset because they made money on a trade and then scratched out, they can send me the money, okay? Keep a little loud, go get a massage as I preach. Nobody's ever done that in 20-something years. So it happens. You have to be willing to give up some of those open profits. So that's still an open trade, and we're about up, closing in 100% on that. So knock on wood, maybe a little more than 100%. All right, so any questions thus far? So last week, this is what I was showing you. I just showed you on the charts what stocks were played. And the reason I wanted to do that was I wanted you to see that in an up market, we were buying things. In a sideways market, we were sitting on our hands. And in a down market, we were shorting things, okay? And that's what trend following is all about. And sometimes people say, well, Dave, it took you a while to become bullish here. And it's like, well, that's because you don't want to become bullish overnight. You want to let things unfold a little bit, and then you have to wait for the setup. So let's say something hits a low and starts going up. It might take 6 weeks or so, or 3 weeks, or 4 weeks, whatever, before it actually sets up. Sometimes you get a transitional setup a little quicker, but it does take a little while for you to start getting long setups after the market goes straight down. And that's just part of how the game works. It's trend following. You have to wait for that trend to follow. And that's, as Mr. Petty says, the waiting is the hardest part. Anyway, here's more trades. We went through these in painstaking detail last week. And you can see that's the KGC we just talked about. That was opened way back in May. Okay, so if you watch the May like 20-something show, it would be there. And then here's the remaining trades, or nearly all of them for the year. There's that SLDP, and here's the rest, okay? So we've got a few losers mixed in, it comes with territory, but then occasionally you catch a home run. And again, I make it sound too elusive, but we are playing for that outlier, okay? And that's, years ago, I became friendly with a CTA, and he actually, I think he was a person that suggested I contact Larry Connors to see if he, he'd want me to do some programming research for him. And I want to thank him for that, because that was part of launching my career. But his point was that we're really playing for the outlier, and that's where the real money is. And you have to position yourself to occasionally capture that home run. And I don't want to pick on anybody, but I think it's a very hard way to make money if you're a pure short-term swing trader, okay? And people think I'm a swing trader because it was in the title of two of my books. But the bottom line is I'll stick with the market as long as it moves in my favor. It becomes a bit of a game. How long within reason, you know, with the stops, within a wide stop within reason, letting it gradually open up over time, how long can I stay with the stock? And so we're going on, let's say, 6, 7, 8 months in some of these. Anyway, so you can go in and take a look at all these on your own from last week, but this is where they came from, so you can go in and see as I finish up the walkthroughs where they all came from. All right, let's hop into crypto. Any questions on any of that? Okay, Bitcoin, not looking so hot. We've got a Landry Light pullback here. Let's see if we can get that up in ACP. If you take a look at Bitcoin and ACP, you can see that we've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of downside Landry lights. So as I tweeted out a while back, I think we were up around close to 100K or maybe around 90 or so, 95. It's always darkest right before it gets more dark. And that's the danger of trying to catch that falling knife when a market is dropping. So this market's in an obvious downtrend, a little bit of a Landry-like pullback here, sort of, bigger picture-wise. I just would avoid it for now. There's really nothing to do there. Now, as I preach, using Bitcoin as your bellwether, a lot of times you could do that and then come in and trade the altcoins. Now, if Bitcoin's doing well, a lot of excitement goes to all these altcoins. I guess people think, oh, I could buy this little, as they call them, shitcoin, and maybe it'll go to one penny and I'll be worth $500,000 or $5 million or whatever. And I think they get sucked in when Bitcoin's doing well. Ethereum not doing so hot either. It did get, it did spend a couple days above its 30 EMA, and now it's back toward that EMA. So that's obviously a market you want to avoid. As I've preached ad nauseum, sometimes when, like that one looks okay for now, but sometimes ideally when Bitcoin's going higher, as I just said, you can come in and buy some of these altcoins, and you can just buy the ones that are going up. And I haven't done that much lately. I can only think of one trade I did recently, and it was a better than the poke in the eye type of trade. So if you were doing that, out of all of these, the only one that does look kind of interesting right now would be this BARD. You can see it's breaking out in a pretty serious way. But for the most part, you want to avoid crypto for now, but you do want to do your homework, okay? And I'm just seeing this one live. I'm gonna go ahead and pass. But if you were to do something, that might be something interesting. Let me just put a line on the chart for S&Gs. We'll see what happens. All right. Any individual pairs you guys want me to look at? I'd be happy to do that real quick. If not, we could move on. All right. Let's shift gears and get over to the market. This is a Ledger 100, by the way, since we're here. And one of them is getting really whacked today. So this is why you have a big basket of stocks. Every now and then one gets whacked. Okay. Look at the since tracking. So that one will get taken out. So this USAS just keeps banging out new highs with a little bit of vigor. So that's looking pretty good. You can see that one's 234%, 182%. You know, I'm looking at these numbers, and it's like they're almost ridiculous if you think about it, okay? 767%, 234, 182, 164. And even way down here, 41 down, 13%. Now, I do kick out stocks as they underperform, like that RZLT or whatever that was. We'll kick that out tonight, or in the close, I should say. But you can see, even with doing that window dressing, so to speak, where you're putting better stocks in and taking out poor ones, okay, or underperformers, you can see we've been in some of these big performers for a long, long time, since April, July, April, and so on and so forth. Look at that, January. So that one's been in since January of 25. So we're closing in on close to a year or 11 months on that one. So that's kind of interesting. So yeah, I do window dress this, but I keep the best ones in. Okay. And that's the secret to managing a big portfolio of momentum stocks. I wouldn't try to pick and choose 10 stocks and just have those 10 momentum stocks, although you might do okay. And that's because occasionally you're going to get whacked on some. And a lot of times breakouts don't work and the market corrects right on top of you. But if you're buying enough stocks, you could survive some of the drawdowns in these individual stocks longer term. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into that this week. We'll pick that up again next week. Let me just cover the market real quick. And then if there's any individual stocks or crypto, let's do stocks now that you want to take a look at, let me know. All right, S&P 500, yesterday was a decent day. We got really close to all-time highs. Fed day, obviously. So your all-time highs are right here, and we were just a smidge below. Bigger picture, it still looks like a bit of a head and shoulders type of top, okay? And a lot of classical technical analysis I don't use. I use a lot of it as kind of a backdrop. I don't use anything that I can't wrap my head around from a conceptually correct standpoint. In the head and shoulders top, and maybe I just kind of reason this way, but I see it as, especially when the right side's higher than the left, I see it as kind of a process type of top where people buy a market and then they might have a little FOMO and then they buy into the head. They don't know it's going to be a head. Okay, it comes back in. And then as it rallies back to the old highs, they feel like, okay, everything's going to be okay. It looks like I'm going to get all my money back and then some, right? And then when the market sells off, they're on the wrong side of the market. Now, I don't trade directly off of this pattern, but if you get a, sometimes you get a bow tie within a head and shoulders top or some other type of pattern like that. Now, with all that said, you still have to take a 30,000 foot view and take a look at like a weekly chart. And weekly chart, the big blue arrow is still pointing higher. And you can see based on the way the weekly chart calculates, this is a rolling weekly chart. So it's actually at new highs based on that, okay? And we're just shy of all-time highs on a daily chart. So far an inside day today. Like to see us obviously break out and keep on keeping on. NASDAQ Composite has a bit of a gatekeeper look to it. Gatekeeper is where you have a retrace back toward the old highs and it stalls short. Okay, well, that's also, that setup is also part of a bigger picture pattern. Now, the gatekeeper is the closest thing I'll trade to a reversal pattern. In this particular case, it's bearish, don't get me wrong, but let's give the market kind of the benefit of the doubt for now. Let's see if we can follow through to the upside. If it does begin to roll over, there'll be plenty of time to short is the way I kind of look at it. As I said recently, and I learned this from Greg Morris, what's amazing to me is that tops tend to be a process, meaning they take time, okay? And bottoms tend to be an event, okay? Not all the time, but that's just kind of like a general rule. And I find that fascinating because you always feel like when the market's like the market crashed, you know, it's like, well, it took a while for the market to crash. And even back in 1987, and that's why like the TFM 10% system gave you a sell signal before the crash because the market kind of gradually rolled over. So we could still be in the process of making a top, but we are back above the moving averages and we're not too far away from all-time highs. And the 30,000 foot view, again, we're pretty close to that prior peak. But I would be, I think if you had to define it, and I'm kind of couch here a little bit, but maybe cautiously optimistic, okay? And be a lot less cautious once we break out to new highs, like the Rusty, okay? So here's this is really good. So for the last year or so, the Rusty has lagged, and now the Rusty is taking off. This is huge, okay? This has me very excited. I didn't have a cold, I'd be even more excited. So this is fantastic. So maybe the small cap stocks are finally going to have their day. So let's see how this all shakes out. I've been bullish on biotechnology for some time. Nice uptrend remains intact. Back to chart way out. Draw your big blue arrow, right? We had a fairly orderly pullback, and now we're trying to rally out of that pullback. So that's looking pretty darn good. Now, within the health services, major drugs had been doing pretty good. They did have a pretty serious correction. Now, they're having a decent day today. I'm bullish on these guys. We have one or two in the Landry list today. If they take out this recent low, which is fairly deep, then I would become concerned. And that goes for healthcare, too. Healthcare is rallying nicely out of a deep pullback. NP, what is that? I've got an old alert just came up. NP, let's see what that is. Ooh, look at that. It's kind of waking up, huh? We were talking to the Facebook group, me and John Ross and some other guys in there. John Ross is our resident IPO expert. He's taken my IPO stuff and really done well with it. And it blows me away. I really enjoy his commentary there. But anyway, one thing we're talking about, he was talking about recently, these longer term buy at Ds have been triggered. Buy at D is you're buying at a at least a 5-day closing high, okay, from inception, okay. So in this particular case, now this was right around 30, so that's okay. It's I have a $30 rule, but you can see the highest high for the first 5 days would be highest close would be right there. So this would be a buy at 30.40. So let's put another alert in here. And the buy at B is actually a market on close type of trade. However, I will sometimes intraday go in and buy a little early if the range is beginning to expand, especially if it's late in the day and it looks like it's going to trigger, okay? So that looks pretty good. And so that was a random alert. So a little tip and trick there. And the reason I was talking about the Facebook group is kind of a long story, but Charlie Kirk, the trader, invited me down to his retreat as the guest of honor down in St. Lucia a few years back. And it was a wonderful time. And it was great to get all the one-on-one FaceTime with everyone. And I learned so much from all the other traders there. And I learned a lot from Charlie too. I mean, it's little things you don't necessarily see. And this is why I work so hard with the Show Me. And like, he was just showing all his alerts that he had set a year or so ago on some of these, and he continues to set alerts. So here's a stock that I would have totally forgotten about, okay? And I just set an alert. I set an alert way back in the day, right? And then there it is. Now it's popping up. So little tip and trick, you pick up a lot of those type of things. I have a client that is sort of offered up, we were just kind of molding around a little bit, but if you guys are ever interested in retreat, existing clients, that is, or potential future clients, I guess. He basically said he could offer up his place. He's a really nice second home, and he does real estate stuff. So maybe one day we'll get around to doing that. I know it's a lot of work to do that, and it could be expensive to put it all together, but I think it'd be a great thing. Just get everybody together and talk about trading and what you're doing, what you're doing, you know, what your problems, how to fix them. And we all, believe me, we all have a lot of issues. Broke a dealer, look at that. Broke down from the bottom of its range, okay? But then came right back up and took out the top of his range. Now, that'll actually test out. If you have a base, a high-level base, and it breaks down from the base, if you were to buy when it took out the top of the base, after it broke down from the base substantially, right? It would actually test out. So in a case like this, your buy would be up here somewhere and so forth, so good. Now, I don't trade that, okay? But it is something you could use to kind of help you out a little bit. And like the first pullback after a base breakout, especially after the base takes out the bottom of the base first, that could be a viable pattern. Some areas not so hot. Software not doing so hot. You can see it's pulled back to the 50-day moving average. Still looks questionable at best. Still looks toppy. So you want to avoid that area. The fence has recently broken down, and now it's pulling back up to the 50. I wouldn't rush out and short it today, obviously, on such a big rally. But it's possible that a top remains in place here. Back to the upside, gold stocks just off of all-time highs. In fact, now they're at all-time highs. Look at that, okay? Look at that breakout. It's huge. So that's huge, okay? We're long TFPM. Brand new highs there at KGC. Bam, winning. So far, so good. KGC again from way back here. And my neighbor fired up her leaf blower. She hadn't done shit in a week, and now she's going to blow yard. I miss living in the country. I don't miss driving 30 miles to get a six pack of beer, but I enjoyed living in the country. All right, back to the downside. Internet not looking so hot. Looks like a major top remains in place there. Transports, look at that. Breaking out the new highs. Bring it up! You can hear me. Blowing the leaf blower. if it can't go wrong, it will go wrong. Look at the transports, breaking out the new highs, a little bit of vigor. Okay, I'm not a huge Dow theory guy, but hey, if it works, then it's working, right? Look at that. Selective metals have been doing really well, like lithium. You can see right here toward these brand new highs. Silver's been on fire. Look at that. Bam, accelerating higher with lots and lots of vigor. So very rarely do old leaders become new leaders, but hey, we'll take it, okay? Semiconductors be another example of that. Semiconductors were the old leaders and then looked like they were going to tank, and now they've come back nicely today, notwithstanding getting whacked a little bit in here. But they look pretty good longer term. And sometimes you get this wide range bar up, followed by a wide range bar down. And then it's kind of like a one, two, three. It's like a one, two, and then three. You get the real move out. Drugs, I think we already covered, have pulled back fairly deeply. If they take out the low, that would be of concern. All service has been doing well as of late. It does have a lot of overhead supply to deal with. Anybody who bought back here might be looking to get out of break even. Although that's a while ago, so maybe it's not, maybe you don't have to worry about it too much, but it is happening there. Now, financials, I was worried about being toppy. So here's a case where, and I'm glad they break it out, but I'm glad for multiple reasons. I'm glad because they were lagging. I'm glad because it kind of illustrates the point. They've looked toppy, kind of a head and shoulder top for a long, long time. Don't trade off that classical technical analysis, but use it as a backstop or use it to help kind of paint the picture of what's really happening. And when a negative pattern gets negated, it's actually bullish. And I knew that from empirical research, and then I actually read it years later. I think Van Thorpe talked about it being the hounds of the Baskerville signal, okay? Anyway, you can see nice breakout today in the financial. So very excited about that. That's a good thing. So check back often, but at the moment, things are really improving. So let's see if we can keep on keeping on. I haven't seen a whole lot of setups lately, but if everything continues to improve, obviously we'll see more and more setups. Still some weak areas out there to be concerned about, okay? But the Rusty's breaking out. That's a good thing. Let's put all the pieces together. It's so far, especially with today's action, it's looking pretty good. I'd like to see these indices at brand new highs, all three of them at least, and I feel a lot better. All right, any individual stocks you guys want me to look at real quick? See how much longer I can last. All right, going once, going twice. Well, I'm sure I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. Anything you have answered, dave@davelandry.com. Remember, I have a fantastic weekend. To all my Facebook peeps, I'll see you in a few minutes in Facebook. Everybody else, again, have a great weekend and may the trend be with you. Thank you so much.